we have here in the studio on this Wanted Wednesday edition, Lieutenant Michael Chavis. He is the Public Information Officer with the Rock Hill Police Department. And Lieutenant Chavis is here to talk about scams in general, but scams that they're seeing right here in our backyard. And we always enjoy the conversation with Lieutenant Chavis. And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So it seems like every time we turn around, there's a new scam. Mm-hmm. And the recent scam is what, a toll road scam that you all are seeing?
Yeah. So, every time like you think that you have it cornered in education out, you've got to adjust it. With technology, scammers have, you know, they've gotten more involved in what they do into our lives because we have computers at our fingertips and these cell phones. And unfortunately, our information is out there through public searches. And then, you know, you can go on peoplesearch.com, pay a little bit of money, get some information. So, yeah, the toll road scam, if you go and you go through a toll road, they scan your license plate, they get the information from DMV, and then they will mail you something. Well, the scammers are actually using cell phone numbers and sending you, hey, you went through this toll, you owe us this much. Yeah, it's a text. It's a short message servicing. It's called smishing. You know, somebody somewhere comes up with a term for it. So, yeah, you know, we have phishing, you know, now it's smishing. But they send you these texts, and it has a link for you to click in it. And all they're trying to do is get your bank account information, your credit card information. And as soon as you give it to them and think you're paying a toll that you didn't even go through, you've now given them all the information that they need to start wiping out your bank account.
I was talking to a friend yesterday, and her teenage daughter has gotten it twice and actually clicked on it. Of course, didn't put any information in, but did click on it. Okay. So they had to have a conversation. Then I got home last night, and I got it. And it does. It looks very legit in the type up. And then at the end, it's like, you know, this is your final warning. Mm-hmm. Happy traveling. You know, all the things. But it doesn't match up necessarily with the state. So they haven't gotten so sophisticated yet because it was, again, a state that I have never been to, let alone in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, so my wife keeps getting them, and they mailed something to the house in West Virginia. We've never been to West Virginia a day in our lives. And I just kept telling Katie, I'm like, ignore it. I'll shred it. If they want it that bad, they can just come and tow the car, and they're not going to get anything for it. But so how do folks need to respond to these scams, whether it's electronically or physically?
So, yeah, if you get something in the mail and it looks like it's legitimate from a, you know, Department of Motor Vehicles, a toll or something, it usually has a number. It should have an image of your car going through a toll, and it has a phone number you can call, confirm it. Also, you can confirm with your dates of travel. Hey, did I go through the state? Was I here on this road?
Not me.
Yeah.
Because in North Carolina, like, they've got tolls now that you may or may not know that you actually hit, but you can call and confirm. Now, if you get these text messages, they don't send anything by text because your license plate information is not connected to your cell phone. So you know automatically it's a scam. What you need to do is go ahead and automatically delete it, because what they're doing is they're spamming, you know, all these numbers at a time through a robo-dialer to try and get somebody to click the link. A lot of times we can't reverse engineer and track down the numbers it's coming from, because if you look at a number, it might just be like a +60381. It's very hard to go through that. Delete it and block it from reaching your cell phone again. Don't click on anything. Don't give them any information. Definitely don't try and do your own investigation, because the more you click on, the more you open yourself up to be susceptible to losing money.
Chavis, should folks report those to the local authorities? Do you all have a track record of what's going on here in our backyard, or how do we handle that?
So if you give them any money, start noticing it's depleted in your bank account, yeah, absolutely. Okay. You need to report it, because we can work with your bank to try and get you some of your money back, to try and find out where your money actually went and track it down. A lot of times what they're doing, and we're seeing it a lot, is you start clicking on it, and then the next thing you know, you're being asked for Bitcoin payments. You're being asked for gift card payments. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is, if money comes out of your bank account, money comes off a credit card, we can usually track that to, you know, a fair extent. But when you start going to a Bitcoin machine to pay something, it's very hard to track it once it goes into Bitcoin. That's why scammers love Bitcoin. When somebody asks you to pay something with Apple gift cards, very hard to track those as well. And we're seeing that more often in our, what we call our government imposter scams. You get that phone call from somebody saying they're a law enforcement officer and you have a warrant, you need to pay this fine. oh, I work at the jail, your relative's in jail. And what they're doing is they'll check the jail detention logs, and then they'll run that person's name through people search and try and find an address or another relative link to them, try and get their information, call them up and say, hey, we got overcrowding at the jail, or they just had a new bond here. And if you pay us $800, $1,000, $1,200, it's usually a fair amount, but nothing compared to what the bond amount actually is. We can release them right now. And so somebody will go like, hey, I'll pay you. Well, you got to pay me in Bitcoin. You got to go to a Bitcoin machine at a gas station and pay me with Bitcoin. And unfortunately, we've had people do that. And yes, report that to us right away. We need to get involved in it, because that's a fair amount of money for anybody to lose.
So there is some hope that if you have been scammed and you have fallen prey to some of these scams, if you alert authorities, there's could be some hope to recoup some of your money, if not all of it. But don't just say, oh, well, I'm out of luck. At least reach out and let them know about it, just so you all have a knowledge of what's going on and what kind of scams you're seeing. This is the week of Valentine's Day, and we often hear about romance scams. And they seem to target those that are older in population that want to be, I guess, on the dating apps, but they don't know how to use it. What do you see with that? And what is a romance scam exactly?
So basically, a romance scam is where somebody presents themselves on social media, dating apps, as somebody else. They'll go through and find pictures of individuals and then use that photo to create a fake account, basically. And then they will start talking to, somebody who's susceptible. And it's usually our older population, because they're not as familiar with the technology as others are. You know, our younger generation, they grew up with cell phones in their hands. But as we get older and older, it was dial-up internet. Now, it's high-speed internet. And now it's all these dating apps and social media. And so what we're seeing is they get on there, and then they start, the whole process of online dating or online courtship, however you want to call it. And then it's like, hey, I want to come see you, but I might be, I'm short of funds to afford a flight. Can you send me money? And so they use it like that way to allure it in. They're like, if you send me this money, then I can afford to come see you. Or I've got to pay something. My car broke down. If I get this money, then I'll pay you back. And so basically it's just getting that connection started and then finding a hook to get them to send that money. And usually once they send them that first round of money, they'll try a few more times. And if they're not getting any more money, then they just call it off and they target someone else. But the longer they keep that whole relationship going online and they're getting money, they're going to keep doing it.
Well, it just goes back to the saying, if it's too good to be true, it is.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a model that's reaching out to you or any other forms that Lieutenant Chavis with Rock Hill PD has been explaining this morning. Any other scams that you all are seeing, or any other advice to help those, no matter their age, not fall victim to any of this?
Oh, yeah. I will tell you another one that we see quite often is jury duty scams. Mm-hmm. So it falls in line with the government imposter scams. You will get notification about jury duty. You get well in advance that you have jury duty, because you get a form that you can fill out to say that I can't make it because of X, Y, and Z. And then they'll usually respond and tell you whether or not you're exempt or not exempt. And then you get that communication of, hey, you missed jury duty. You owe this amount of money. Yet again, it's usually pay us in Bitcoin, pay us, in gift cards. But the reality is, if you miss jury duty, the judge may ask where you're at. They may send you another letter, or they might start calling you. It doesn't automatically go to, hey, you missed jury duty. You owe us X number of dollars. You're going to pay today, or we're coming to arrest you. So just know that there's a process in that. Don't automatically get worked up and think, oh my goodness. You can call and find out where you supposedly missed jury duty at and confirm it. You can call law enforcement. We will help you confirm it. Just don't give them money, because that has been another one going on. And then the final one I'll touch on briefly is a new one, real estate scams. So what we're finding is that people are going around and finding houses for rent in your area. And then they basically make a whole complete spoofed rental on Craigslist or, VRBO or something like that. And you think that you're legitimately renting a house, and you can go there and see that it might have a for rent sign out front. But as soon as you start paying your deposit, and everything else, then you realize, hey, I'm not getting any more communications. And in those cases, what you said is true, is if it's too good to be true, then it's too good to be true, because these houses for rent are going to be well below what the going market is for a rental house. Okay. So yeah, that's how you know, like all of a sudden every house is being rented for $1,400, $1,500, and you see one for $750, they ask you for security deposit of 1 month rent, and then the first month's rent, and you give them, you know, at $1,500, and then all of a sudden there's no more communications, you're not finding a key or anything. Yeah, usually that is what's going on, is you've been scammed.
And then you don't have anywhere to stay.
No, so you're out of money and a house.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, it is sad. That is the time we live in with new technology, right? It brings excitement. It makes our life easier, but it also has a very dangerous side, as Lieutenant Michael Chavis with Rock Hill PD has just explained to us. When it comes to scams, if you're not sure, hang up the phone, dial the number, delete whatever you want, because I guess if at the end of the day, if you're wanted by law enforcement or this and that, they're going to track you down eventually in person.
That is correct.
I mean, that's on the law enforcement side. And just, it's sad that you can't really trust people anymore, but you kind of have to have your guard up, or you're going to be out thousands, if not hundreds of dollars.
That's correct. You got to be vigilant. You got to be on top of things, but you don't have to live in fear.
And if people do need to contact y'all, what's the best number to do that? Like, you don't dial 911 for that.
Absolutely.
What's the best way to contact y'all at the Rock Hill PD?
You can call the non-emergency number. It's 803-329-7200. Because, yeah, it's not a 911 issue. We leave 911 for true emergencies. But, no, you can call that number and go ahead and get in contact with us. You can also go online. www.ic3.gov is a government website that likes to keep track of scams. And they see, you know, the trends and what's going on. And then sometimes they can find correlations and find a much bigger group that is involved in scams. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times our bad actors are from overseas, and they're preying upon our community here.
Well, we appreciate the education this morning. Lieutenant Michael Chavis with the Rock Hill Police Department.